Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the
mind. One thing you've got to say for those libs, they stand by their own. They circle the wagons around Clinton time and again. And they're certainly going out of their way to protect Obama from scandals that would have brought any conservative down to a crash and burn long ago. I mean, anywhere from refusing to release his college and birth records to things that really matter, like Benghazi and sending drones after Americans. But not even I thought they would go this far. I mean, so far as to circle the wagons around Chris Dorner, the mass murdering ex-cop who, as it turns out, is a confirmed liberal right on up to and including a firm belief that gun control would have stopped him. Yeah, can you believe that? He is going around killing 19-year-old kids whose only crime was to be the daughter of a cop he didn't like. Nice guy. And he scolds us, saying that if the assault weapons ban was in place, well, he would not be able to do what he's been doing. Because unlike the other equipment that he confessed in his manifesto to having obtained illegally, he, well, of course, would not have obtained an assault weapon, a so-called assault weapon, illegally. Well, no, not him. And this is the guy his comrades are calling a genius. I read his manifesto, and it reveals nothing of the sort. Rather than that, a deeply disturbed, warped fella who's way too far into himself. I really believe Rush got this right on, so I'm not even going to bother going into it further. Besides, I'm not comfortable giving this guy, this murdering lib, any more airtime. We have to drop him out of the news like the MSM has Benghazi. They won't stop talking about Chris Dorner, but they have very little to say about Chris Stevens. Well, let's see now. Obama was informed about the goings-on in Libya by Panetta only a few hours at most after the ordeal began, and Obama went to bed. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, he had to get his beauty sleep so he could look good for the cameras during his visit with the celebrities in Las Vegas the next day. You know, no, actually, that's not an exaggeration. That's exactly what he did. He went to bed. And the next day, he went right on with his campaign because, you know, he's such a masterful multitasker, you see. So while he was sleeping, he was able to, you know, make sure everything got taken care of that was supposed to get taken care of. You know what I mean? Others were gathered around the monitor and watching the deed go down in Benghazi, allowing the commander-in-chief to get his beauty rest, you know. Chris called for help. Did you know that? During the ordeal, Chris Stevens called for backup, but none was forthcoming. And we cannot find out why, because we are too busy extolling the virtues of an anti-gun cop killer. So you know what's really important after all, huh? Did you know that? Did you know that Stevens called for help during the attack and got none? Well, here we have on Wednesday, Representative Jason told Fox News' Greta that U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens called for help during the September 11 attack on the consulate in Benghazi, but got none. Apparently, he called a Gregory Hicks, who is the deputy chief of mission in Tripoli, General Carter Ham, who was at that time head of the U.S. African Command, and was the one who would have received the go-ahead from the White House to engage in Benghazi if such go-ahead was forthcoming. He testified to Congressman Chaffetz that, quote, he did not get a directive from the White House, from the President of the United States, to engage in the firefight to help protect those people, end quote. Now, General Ham has since been relieved of his command, but, of course, the Defense Department says it, quote, had nothing to do with the Benghazi attack, end quote. Well, we have a signed cable from Ambassador Stevens on August 15, alerting the State Department that the consulate in Benghazi was not properly protected, that it could not withstand a coordinated attack, and this was a concern back in August, because, you see, September was coming up, and Al-Qaeda had a few active training camps in Benghazi. and the consulate had already been attacked before, and September 11 was approaching, and only a total idiot would not see the need to beef up security when their trusted, and according to their own testimony, respected and loved beloved ambassador was telling them he needed to beef up security there. Which brings us to another question that I've yet to hear anybody ask. And maybe that's because it's already understood. I don't know. But here's a question I have. Why would Ambassador Stevens go to Benghazi knowing it was a likely target and that it was underprotected? As we now know for a fact, he knew it was and even asked for it to be protected with beefed up security. Yeah, he even alerted his boss, Hillary, of this. What intelligent person in his right mind would go to that of all places on September 11 of all times? Someone needs to ask that question. I want the answer to that. Why was Benghazi on his itinerary? Or was it? A, was Stevens diverted to Benghazi? And if so, by whom and why? We also know this was a coordinated attack, that missiles were used in the attack that came from America, and that instead of beefing up security in the intervening weeks from August 15 to September 11, security was actually, in fact, drawn down. So Stephen wants security increased in Benghazi because he's concerned about a possible attack from terrorist training camps operating there in Benghazi on September 11. But instead of getting additional security in Benghazi, they draw down the security forces there, and then Stevens decides to go to Benghazi on 9/11? How brain dead is that? I want to know why Stevens was in Benghazi on 9/11 and not at home or in the more secure embassy. I want to know why, when Ambassador Stevens called for help when under attack on 9/11, he was ignored by the White House. I want to know why Obama thought sleeping was more important to him than getting his rear end into the Situation Room monitoring this matter and making absolutely certain that General Carter Ham got his go-ahead to commit troops to assist our ambassador when he was being attacked by terrorists. I want to know why Obama let the story get out that the attack was about a movie when he knew full well that that was a lie. I want to know why no order came down from the White House to send Ambassador Stevens whatever help he needed when the White House knew he was under attack. And I want to know why, America, you are letting this man get away with dereliction of duty that led to the death of our ambassador and three other Americans. I want to know why, MSM, you are protecting this man from accountability for this and so many other high crimes and misdemeanors, if you will, such as deploying drones to kill American citizens without due process of law. None dare call it treason. Well, I do. Listen, Obama has betrayed his oath to uphold the Constitution, and he is guilty of, at the minimum, gross negligence resulting in the death of our ambassador. I'm with you, Representative Gowdy, and I'm with you. I ask the same question. Why were we lied to by the White House and told it was about a movie when they knew for a fact it was a coordinated terrorist attack? I want to know why the White House, even now, denies the State Department was warned 3 days before the attack of a possible terrorist attack on the consulate in Benghazi. Obama went to bed on the job and Hillary was MIA when this went down. Probably the only way you'll get to Obama is to squeeze Hillary hard and harder until she finally squeals and sees no way to save her own skin except by revealing the truth about what went down there in Benghazi. That little act about, you know, what difference does it make now? Only works for the Clinton Kool-Aid drinkers, eh? You're not throwing me off the trail with that phony nonsense. What do you mean, what difference does it make? If you were not doing your job and that resulted in the death of our ambassador, you deserve to be censored, held accountable, and fired. But I have a gut feeling it goes deeper, that Obama's trying to cover his own rear end in this thing. So Obama and Hillary are covering for each other. That's what it looks like to me. He's trying to keep the heat off her. She's trying to keep the heat off him. I say turn up the heat on both of them. Obama has some responsibility in all this, make no mistake. We know now that he did not care enough about this matter to bother to even call for an update in the course of that night while the ambassador's life was in jeopardy. He simply didn't care. He did not care any more about that ambassador and the other three brave Americans under assault that night than he does a little baby that survives an abortion attempt fighting for its little life and that cold-hearted, callous usurper would have the doctors kill it, strangle it to death, or stab the life out of it, or just leave it to struggle for its life till it finally dies. heartless man. He could hear that Ambassador Chris was being attacked by terrorists and go to bed. No doubt sleep like a baby, because he's such a good multitasker. Right. Which is why he was able to get Chris Stevens the help he needed while he slept, right? I mean, by the next day, it was all over. Chris was murdered. The other three Americans were murdered. And he had to go on to Las Vegas for his thing, you know. But he's quite a good multitasker, you see. While he was taking care of his celebrity clutches in Vegas, he was also getting his speech prepared to address the nation about Benghazi, where he would avoid calling it a terrorist attack, which is exactly what it was, and he knew it was. And instead of that, show sympathy for the alleged rioters, so-called rioters, for their anger about the insult they felt over some movie? So, you see, Obama is Islamizing the country, it seems. He shows sympathy for morons that go ballistic over insults and start killing people. Like those so-called rioters over that movie. And his followers have sympathy now for a Chris Dorner for exactly the same reason. But there does not seem to be any real sympathy for Chris Stevens, does there? Not to me. It looks like croc tears to me, trying to hide the lies and obfuscation. Well, anyway, Senator Lindsey Graham, I sure hope you are able to hold Obama accountable for Benghazi like you promised you'd try to do. You're up against it, my friend, but I'm rooting for you. Folks, hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
Ask 100 churchgoers what connects them to their church, and you'll get many different answers. Most, however, would not mention truth as their number one concern. Why? For many, church is about opportunities for socializing or family tradition, and the issue of truth is taken for granted. There's something wrong when a nation boasts 78% of the population is born again, with many of the largest churches in history, and yet we are in a moral freefall, and Christianity is increasingly held in contempt. Think about it. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Wayne Basua, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Skyfall. A 10-ton meteor hits Russia, about 1,000 miles east of Moscow, injured more than 1,000 people, many kept in hospitals for treatment. I think it was about 47 at last count. 297 homes hit, 12 schools hit, among other buildings, shattered glass, collapsed some buildings, set off car alarms, and really shook them up. I watched a video recording of this event taken and recorded by some Russian fella driving along in his car, who recorded the meteor flaming to the earth in a ball of bright burning light, blasting into hundreds of pieces scattered all over the sky. And then he says, weird, and turns off the camera. A liberal Democratic Party leader, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, has stated on the record, this was not a meteor. No, this was a U.S. weapons test over Russian soil. So, as you can see, some things never change. The Democrats are not only crazy here, but I'm just kidding. Some wondered out loud if this was a piece from the larger asteroid that passed by us, some few hours later. At about 17,100 miles, somewhere between the moon and the earth out there with some of our satellites, by the way, weaved through them all, missed them all, I guess, and missed Earth happily. And I understand it's called the 2012 DA-14. That's an interesting name for it, 2012. Oh, well. I'm told this asteroid is the size of an Olympic pool, 46 meters, which is, 150 foot 11 inches, or say 151 feet in diameter. Pretty huge. The meteor that exploded over Chelyabinsk, Russia, was significantly smaller than that 2012 asteroid. So you can only imagine what that would be like if the 2012 hits the Earth. And I heard some scientists are convinced the trajectory of this latest pass of the asteroid 2012 DA-14 puts us on a collision course with that space rock in about 8.5 years from now. Now, when I watched that video I mentioned earlier, I've been to Russia about nine times. And when I watched the video made by that Russian watching all this unfold before his camera, and he said nothing, by the way, not one word, until after it exploded and a bright flash of light erupted. As he was turning off the camera, you could hear him say, weird. And that's pretty weird. I mean, you have to know Russians to appreciate why I'm amused by this. Then you had to hear his the tone, too, in which he said it. So familiar to me. kind of a lingering fatalistic attitude, the, well, weird sort of resignation to disaster, unfortunately, that characterized much of the population during the Federation, where the federal power of the state controlled every move. One of the eyewitnesses of the meteor refused to give the media his last name or second name. First name only, please. Another Russian that was being talked to by media. And again, I see it, a holdover from that Cold War era when Russians were afraid to stick their heads above the surface or to bring any attention to themselves at all. And of course, the Democratic Party leader, who immediately accused America of weapons testing over Russian soil, all of that should tell you Russia is not quite done being Russia. In fact, in Scripture, we see that that area of the world becomes the epicenter of Antichrist activity and sentiment at the end leading into Armageddon, and then again after the millennium just before the Great White Throne Judgment. Anyway, I'm concerned, however, about another asteroid passing over America right now, one that is aimed right at our liberty. Soon, with drones flying over our heads and a national security force equal in power and manpower and munitions to our own military, prowling our streets like, what, the Gestapo of Germany? And with these roadside checkpoints we're being conditioned to accept, you know, where they stop you and give you a look over to make sure you're not drunk. But, of course, they would not dare set one of these up at the doors of the bars in town. No, they'll interrupt your freedom, a free flow of travel and so on. They'll tie you up in what amounts to very nearly unwarranted search and detention, at least without cause. But, oh no, we would never even think about putting such a checkpoint at the driveway of these bars or other alcohol peddling establishments, or even near those establishments, because, well, of course, that would be harassment. Huh? Think about it. They want to use drones to spy on you and take you out if you're on their list. But it's okay, because Obama has promised, a couple of days ago, he's going to be a bit more forthcoming about his use of drones to kill Americans. After all, the ACLU is after him now, so he's going to take us a little more seriously about our concern. He's going to be a little more transparent. This would be fodder for Leno and the rest of these guys if it weren't so serious. He said it. That is, Obama said it, so it must be true. I mean, of course, everything this president says is true, right? I mean, it sounds true. Sounds good. He looks like an honest person, doesn't he? I mean, after all, he is our first black president, and that means we have to trust him. If we don't, well, the only reason that can explain that would be that you're prejudiced. Racist, right? I mean, think about it. The only thing that matters about this president is one thing, and one thing only. He is our first black president, period. Nothing else matters. He refused to release his birth certificate for what? 2-3 years? But he is our first black president, so forget about it. He still refuses, to release his college transcripts and other important college records and so forth. But if you make any noise about that, hey, this is our first black president. You leave him alone, period. End of discussion. That's it. Forget about it. Doesn't matter. If he was a white president, well, duh, of course that would raise questions and encourage suspicion and be the cause for some concern. But this is our first black president, so there's only one possible reason that you could be concerned about anything like that, and it would be because you are a racist. And that's it. End of discussion. He uses drones to attack and kill a 16-year-old American citizen without due process, and hey, leave it alone, man. This is our first black president. You can't have a problem with anything like that because unless you're a racist. You must be a bigot. That's the only reason you could ever have, that anyone could have, for being concerned about anything this president does. I mean, you know, like using drones to kill Americans and wanting to use drones over American soil and to kill even 16-year-old kids, you know, not even wanting to arrest this guy, bring him over here and whatever, try to help him. The only reason you'd be against that or have any problem with that, you're a racist, right? Of course, right. All right, let's look at his speech for a minute. I did not get to watch the speech, but I have the transcript in front of me here, and later when I have time, I'll go watch it probably. Someone asks me if I'm going to watch the speech, and I say, nah, I can actually tell you what he's going to say without ever even seeing the speech. And now I'm reading the thing, and I'm thinking, yep, I could have told this guy what he was going to say and how he was going to say it even. without even hearing the speech. So anyway, he says, we, but we know he means he, cleared away the rubble of crises. Really? No more crises? Wow, that's going to make his presidency a little more difficult. Don't worry. It's just, this is just a speech. You have to understand that. We don't have a looming debt crisis that has not been addressed. That's not there. Don't even think about that. Forget it. He's the first black president. So don't bother him with stuff like that. Just look at him and smile very broadly and feel real good about yourself and about him. And be proud of him and be proud of yourself, because he's the first black president. And that's all that matters here. That's what this is about. That's all that matters. Don't bring up the $16 trillion of indebtedness, much of which he has created. The fact that he is constructing a giant cage around Americans right now while we listening to him. He's got that going on and trampling all over the Constitution. He is, hey, the AFBP, man, the America's first black president. And as always, Obama greases your ears with what he knows you want to hear and like to hear. And then he slides the poison into your mind very smoothly, almost imperceptibly. Here's one example, and we are coming up on our time, so I only have a time to look at one. Quote, it is our unfinished task to restore the basic bargain that built this country. The idea that if you work hard and meet your responsibilities, you can get ahead, no matter where you come from, what you look like, or who you love, end quote. All right, first, his view of America is that someone somewhere, some unnamed foe, some mysterious them, is against us and has somehow managed to take away our bargain. Yeah, to break the bargain, to take it off the shelf, hey, to withdraw the bargain. What's he talking about? What bargain? What, a bargain is an agreement between two or more parties as to what each party will do for the other. What's this nonsense about, what, the American bargain? Where'd that come from? Have you ever heard of the American bargain? What's he talking about? What we agree to do for each other? When did we ever enter into some kind of a bargain where we agreed to do something for each? What's he talking about? He says the bargain is this. If you work hard and take care of your responsibilities, you can get ahead. Well, where's the bargain in that? I'm going to tell you what it is. While we would, of course, agree, that's good advice. Work hard, take care of responsibilities, and you can trust that you'll get ahead, because that can happen. That's what it usually takes to succeed. But who made a bargain that says, if you work hard and take care of your responsibilities, then I'm going to do, well, what? What am I going to do? I'm going to make sure you succeed. It's my responsibility. If you work hard and take care of your responsibilities, it becomes my responsibility to make sure that works for you. What's that about? This is code talk for Marxism and socialism. The idea that you and I owe it to others to make certain, if they work hard and take care of their responsibilities, that we the people, are going to take responsibility to make sure that this all works out for them, that they get ahead. That's nuts. Absolutely ridiculous. There are so many ways that this is wrongheaded, and I hardly know where to begin with it. But the thing you need to understand is that he's talking Marxism. He's saying society has a responsibility to make sure everybody gets ahead. And in order to ensure that happens, we're supposed to turn all of our property over to guys like him so he can make sure everybody gets a fair shake. Hey, right? That everybody he decides, by the way, has worked hard and taking care of the responsibilities to make sure they get ahead. But if you get too far ahead, wait a minute, you're getting too far ahead. You come back some steps here because somebody else isn't quite as ahead as you are. They worked hard too, you know. You see this thinking? Is this really what you want? And now we're looking at the last phrase here. Of course, he's slipping his degenerate view of morality into your mind when he says that, as far as he's concerned, the bargain is some unnamed them made with the unspecified us that has been broken. He's going to restore it, by the way, that society promises to ensure all the us who work hard and take care of the responsibilities get ahead equally to the them. That's really what he's saying. And that, quote, no matter where you are from, what you look like, or who you love, end quote. So, it doesn't matter that you came here from Mexico illegally. Do I have this guy read right or what? It doesn't matter if you look a little heavy. Oh, wait a minute. Now that is something they are concerned about. You see, if you're in Obama's army, then if you don't fit the army's arbitrary standard, by the way, of what you're supposed to look like and how much weight you're supposed to carry on your bones, no matter how big boned you are, then you're railroaded out, you see. Ah, these two-faced people. Or if you happen to love your Cocker Spaniel and want to marry your poodle, the rest of society is, this is the bargain. The bargain is that the rest of society is supposed to make sure that you get ahead if you work hard and take care of responsibilities. Of course, he's talking about same-sex marriage there. I know that. But you need to pay attention to where this is going. Now, I ask you, do you believe that has been the traditional American bargain, as he called it? This is new jargon here. He's invented this thing. And he's using it to peddle Marxism in our culture, disguised as traditional American values. That's what he's doing. You better watch out for this. Not even 50 years ago would any American in mainstream or in the main body of culture even imagine that homosexuals would even want to be married to each other, much less that they would be demanding that we change the meaning of the word and sanction it. Obama is making it sound as though, however, this has been a long-standing traditional American value. You know, it doesn't matter who you love. Americans have always felt that way, right? Man, this man's bad news. He's peddling Marxist ideology with this bargain nonsense, and then he's wrapping it up in good old-fashioned American values and ideology, and so many of you are swallowing it, hook, line, and sinker, and for the most part, it's for one reason, and one reason only. He's America's first black president. Well, he's Kenyan, but that doesn't matter either. even if the Constitution says you must be a natural-born American. But hey, he is America's first black president. So don't you dare say anything about any of this, because if you do, we all know why. We all know that the only reason you can have any objection to anything he says and anything he does is because you're racist. Because only a racist would raise any objection at all against a black president. Now, I've said over and over and over that there is one thing I like about Obama, and that is that he is black. I think having a black president is historic, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I'm just not willing to allow his skin color to blind me from his behavior. I'm going to judge this man like I judge all men, by the content of his character and by the deeds that define him. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call and let me know that you see they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And say lights on if you're with me and you agree with me and you see the lights are on. Or say lights off if you disagree with me. And I want feedback from me. I like hearing from my audience, positive or negative. Lights on or lights off. Give me a call at 1-888-770-8000. Or write me an email at theraymassageshow.com. And let me know what you think about the show or what you think about some of the topics that I've discussed on it. So call me or write me, lights on or lights off. I'd love to hear from you today. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
If you're looking for unvarnished, plain Bible preaching that tells it like it is without fear or compromise, come to The Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m.